Hello and welcome back to episode 60 of the Rat City Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Perry the Pig. It is Pi Day and we have so many things to talk about. We are coming off the tail end of an interview that Gazzy hosted along with recent EHG team member Carve, who I've been informed has just lost his job because he revealed way too much on his interview. That's a joke, I think that's a joke. Not entirely sure about that. But joining me as always is Dreadful. So Dread, what's going on, dude?
Hello, this is Dread. And yeah, you really did just like whip out everything, huh?
I'm reeling. Like I was watching it live. You were watching it live. We were talking to each other in Discord. I was talking in Twitch chat. Like he's nuts.
He just went insane.
Holy. Okay, so like you have a normal interview where it's like, hey, we're gonna talk about this thing, or like how is the team feeling about the patch? How does Melee feel? Are you guys gonna make the patch good or is it gonna be bad? And then Carve is like, hey, do you mind if I share my screen and show you everything?
Just everything. Doesn't matter what it is.
And so then Gazzy
had to like shut up for a second because he was like, I don't want him to stop. Keep going.
I forgot whose stream I was watching. Like, oh man, I haven't seen a Carve stream in a while.
Carve,
I was too busy.
Stream now, yeah.
Good Lord. Okay, so we have a lot of information to cover. Where do you want to start?
Well, there are some really big bombs that happened early on in the podcast that we should talk about that I did actually make most of my video talking about today is Ward. Yeah. Intelligence getting nerfed in half again. This is like twice in a row now, I think. Yeah.
I've already deleted this off my list of things I want to talk about.
Wait, why?
This because I don't know the context of everything else, right?
Well, yeah, but just, it's just more funny that this has happened again.
It is. Ward's been nerfed a number of times in the past. So intelligence.
Just intelligence specifically. This is the second time it's been nerfed.
Oh, I actually don't know that. What was intelligence given for Ward retention previously?
Oh, so, okay. What happened was in the beginning, Ward was giving twice the amount that it was giving because of the Ward calculation. They nerfed that in half, which nerfed intelligence in half, right? Because they nerfed the whole entire Ward calculation. And now they nerfed intelligence in half again by just literally nerfing it in half.
Yeah, so Ward retention and like the current live server gives 4% Ward retention, which like if you think about it, like 4%, you get 100 intelligence, that's 400 Ward retention. 400
people
is
are, like, pushing 160 in.
400 is plenty Ward retention to get a Ward build up and running. Like you're gonna get more than that before and it's fine for like 100 intelligence. That's it. Mm-hmm. No other source of Ward retention. But now it's half. It's yeah. So only 2% Ward retention coming in next patch for each point of Ward retention. So for each point of intelligence. So if you want Ward retention, you need to like actually build it somewhere.
Yeah, you have to invest into it. This is a huge nerf to Ward only builds, and it is a slight slap on the hand to hybrid builds, which I really enjoy, by the way, because hybrid builds are slowly. Becoming and creeping, becoming more meta, where you play a build where you have like maybe 3k HP and 3k Ward now instead of having like, you know, 6k Ward and like 500 HP. It's really starting to get to the point where now what I really like about this change now is if you want a really good Ward build, you have to actually invest into your gear. You can't just like sneeze and be at like 4k Ward all of a sudden, which is like a huge change in general because it was pretty ridiculous, right?
Yeah, and like life builds already need to invest in that because you like hybrid suffixes, or not hybrid, but you want like your hybrid life and your percent life, you want your flat life and your percent life on your body armor, for example, and you have a lot of slots you're dedicating to building life, whereas Ward builds felt like they were kind of getting it for free. And this should hopefully even the playing field. You mentioning hybrid, and like we have so many things to get to, but like I want to say anything that gets us closer to like a meta where wall of nothing becomes more and more common. Man, I love that unique body armor.
Oh yeah,
things like that. Yeah, hybrid. Or I'm into
decay
it.
Decay threshold is actually going to be a stat that people will care about next patch.
So I like it. Cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so you did one. I'll talk about the first thing that I wrote down on my list of topics as well because it's tangent to it. Talking about defenses. No more double HP idols.
Oh yeah, that's a huge change.
That's a really, really good change. And I've complained about it for a long time, as have many people who wonder, man, should I put this cool percent increased damage idol in my build that does this nifty thing, or should I just have an idol that says 5% life and 30 flat life? Because the value of those is tremendously high, given like how small they are and like how many you can stack in your idol slots. Yeah. So what the, what's going forward?
I want to reiterate, by the way. Because there's a lot of people talking about it in chat. Okay. Ward will be completely fine. You just have to actually wear pieces of gear that make sense. Okay. You can't just only put intelligence on your gear anymore, and then all of a sudden you had a functional build. You have to actually, play it. Now, as Sunoka said, we'll be talking about this later. There are other things, like Ward is probably going to end up just being better because of certain things we'll talk about, but we'll talk about the double life idols. So for, in my opinion, for the double life idols, I think itself as a change would have, that was all that, but getting the Weaver SF fixes.
Dread, let me interrupt you real quick. Let me interrupt you. Hold on. Am I lagging on the stream, or is Dread?
For instance,
it's Dread, right?
You're trying.
I think it's just Dread who's lagging. Okay, gotcha.
Oh shit. Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, I mean,
it's okay. Just give me 30 seconds. Go back and be angry again. Okay, give me 30 seconds of what you're talking about.
Oh. Okay. So what I was talking about was I think the double HP idol change, if it was by itself, would have been bad, because there are certain build archetypes right now that have no access to anything that actually helps them idol-wise, right? Like, for instance, a good example here is Forged Weapons have terrible idol support.
Yes.
And so you just fill all the slots with HP idols. But with the idol enchanting, I think it's fine.
Yeah, so we'll see how it plays out. But like, double HP idols were boring for a long time. They're taking out the flat HP.
They're very boring, yeah.
And they're keeping the percent HP there. So good, love it. Man, you just said something else that I wanted to piggyback off of. You're talking about ward builds losing access to intelligence for building ward retention. It actually reminds me of a conversation that we've had a long time ago with the 1.0 release of Runemaster. There's a node in Runemaster that gives you either crit multi while wielding a wand, cast speed while wielding a two-handed staff, or ward retention while wielding a scepter. And like, we made fun of that node because the crit multi is nuts. It's so good. And like, the cast speed with the staff is like fine, but it's not crit multi. And the ward retention was just like a big meme. Like, why would you intentionally take this node just to build ward retention when intelligence gives you so much? And all of a sudden, there's a really good reason for it, because it gives you a ton of ward retention per point relative to how much you can otherwise get.
Comcasted. Uh-oh.
Is it finally him getting comcasted and not me?
Oh, yes.
Am I getting comcasted?
It wasn't comcasting on my side. I can literally see your stream right now, and I can, like, and everything. Like, it doesn't seem like it's on my side.
Oh, Twitch chat says it's not me. Yes, 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 yes.
I'm not lagging on my side. Watch the Twitch stream the whole time.
It's fine. We'll just keep going. Look how the cast have come.
I could hear everything you were saying and everything.
We're gonna keep going. No, it's fine. Fine. Listen, I've spent enough time being comcasted. You just gotta roll with the punches. I completely understand. Blame Discord. I love blaming Discord. So the next thing that I wanted to talk about. I guess it's kind of an abrupt change in our conversation topic. So do you have anything else for like defenses related you want to mention?
Well, we could talk about the gigantic bomb they dropped.
Which one, dude?
About damage over time for enemies.
It's funny. I deleted this off of the things I wanted to talk about, but I do remember it.
Would you delete that? What?
Okay, all right. So it's insane. It's very good for all of us. It makes your characters easier to build because you have less pressure on your affixes. But like, in my mind, I was just kind of like resigned. Like, I'm going to die to the damage over time because it's insane.
Yeah.
So the change is, as far as I understand, because I deleted it off my notes already, the change is that enemy damage over time will scale half as fast with corruption as it used to. which means
and an overall 15% nerf on top of that.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, like, for all the bombs that we just got in the past 2 hours, is that the one that stands out to you?
Yeah. This is huge. No, this has huge implications, like gigantic implications for everything in the game, because the biggest part of the meta, right?
Was trying to mitigate damage over time. Yeah.
Trying to mitigate damage over time. The reason why Ward felt bad sometimes in endgame was because of damage over time.
Right.
Your Ward number is not going to get destroyed as easily anymore, right? Like, this is a huge buff to Ward. Like, you know how, like, you'd get all that Ward and then, like, it would take forever to go back up? Well, now damage over time isn't just going to take it away from you. This actually, unironically, I know we were like, oh my God, Ward. This is like one of the biggest Ward buffs in existence.
Because Leech was a better way of mitigating it. Sure.
Yeah.
Are you really going to build your characters differently with this in mind? Like, are you going to skip access or skip things that give you access to armor mitigates dot?
Well, now it seems like as though you should be able to just run less sources in general. You don't have to go overboard on it anymore. And we no longer have to run poison res again. Woohoo. Woo. It's great. I think it's great. Specifically, enemy boss dots. Like, for instance, this is really good for minions. This is a huge buff for minions because they would get annihilated by enemy damage over time, right? This is a huge buff for minions as well. Like, there's so many implications of this specific change that, like, caused so many problems, but I'm going to stop talking about it.
No, I mean, it's a great thing to shout out. It is a big change. It's going to feel like a breath of fresh air now that we can actually build our characters in a sensible way without, like, getting one shot by damage over time. But man, there's so many things we can talk about instead. I'm just so excited, dude. I can't believe so many things were released here. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start with the first, or I guess the next thing. So I wrote down, like, no more double HP idols, because to me it's a breath of fresh air as well.
Yeah.
You want to talk about time rot? Where's my time rot note at?
So it's hard to talk about without, like, more knowledge in general, because the time rot node is very good. If you don't know, there's a node for time rot now that gives you more damage based on your slow chance, based on your time rot chance, and based on your attack, cast, and throwing speed, I think.
Whichever one's the slowest, yep.
Whatever one is the least amount, so you have to, like, scale all three at once. So it's going to be really strong, but it's going to end up being insanely niche in general.
It's
going to
be like one build.
There's going to be one build. And whatever build can stack the largest more damage multiplier. Kind of like, of course, like when you play Doom with, like, Hungering Souls, mm-hmm. Think like that. That's the kind of thing that's going to end up happening with this. So I'm not really that excited for it, because there's going to be like, oh yeah, this is the best way to play Time Rot. Every other way is terrible. But what's interesting about the time rot stuff is it's a huge buff to stuff like Void Beam Racing Strike. Because now, like, you can actually get kills with a Racing Strike, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if a Racing Strike kills an enemy with time rot, that will count for killing an enemy with a Racing Strike, right? So you get access to the Void Beams while clearing and stuff. So that's actually huge for that specific build. Like, there's a lot of different, like, kind of like things that time rot helps with here. It's just like the time rot build is going to just be the time rot build.
Right? When you say it like that, it seems like you'd start with this node in the Void Knight skill tree and kind of work backward to figure out what skill you're going to use. Like,
yeah, you're going to, like, go find a calculator. You're just going to be like, all right, what gives me the most more damage modifiers while also not being aids to get to 12 stacks? You're going to, like, do that, and then that's it.
I do wonder how this is going to play out with something like Disintegrating Aura, like Void Hammer Throw. Mm-hmm. It seems like that build could use, like, a little bit more damage to get it up and running. I played, like, a bare-bones version of it recently, and I was like, yeah, it's still kind of paltry. I've seen endgame versions of it that are quite good, but, like, having more support for that, yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I think it's overall a good change. It's just like people are like, oh my God, I'm going to play time rot this, time rot that. Let's be real. You're just going to play, like, time rot whatever has the most more damage. Let's be real, right? What's interesting, though, is we got leaked a node. I'm going to bring it up here.
Yeah, tell me.
It's relevant for the discussion.
You do that. I'm gonna link two things to Twitch chat right now. Yeah. These are two separate imager things. Compilations that have different images in them.
Go ahead. When Carve decided to just whip everything out so casually. One node that was accidentally teased, I don't think it was on purpose. There is a node inside Devouring Orb that consumes all your other Devouring Orbs, right? And deals 100% more damage with that Devouring Orb per Devouring Orb you sucked up. It gives you more AoE with it, and also so it makes it deal less damage with dots, probably to mitigate the inevitable meta of our Devouring Orb Time Rot Overlords. This is going to be absolutely insane. Time Rot Devouring Orb is probably going to be the build of the next patch.
You think so? Time Rot Devouring Orb?
Well, have you seen the more damage modifiers on Devouring Orb? With the 100% more damage per orb consumed? You know how many orbs you can get, especially now that you can move them around?
Mm-hmm. At least 12, right?
You can get way more than that.
Well, I mean, you need at least 12 stacks of Time Rot, though, if you're caring about that.
Oh, no.
Well, oh, but I guess you have more damage per orb consumed.
You make one big Devouring Orb, and you make that Devouring Orb hit with the one node, the node that shoots out or whatever, right? And that's going to be insanely strong, probably broken, probably insanely broken.
So you're starting Devouring Orb then?
No. Probably not. I'm not entirely sure. Heartseeker is a very convincing Marksman. I won't talk about it at length, but Marksman benefits very hard on all of the dot changes, mind you. Marksman might actually be a really good mastery again.
We talked about double HP idols, the Time Rot node. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to have one less noob trap in the game, because Time Rot, along with Fire Aura and whatnot, it's something that new players gravitate toward, and this ends up falling flat. You mentioned Heartseeker. Let's talk about Heartseeker. So it's a new marksman-specific skill. It's beyond the halfway point, so only marksman gets access to it. It is designed to be a single-target skill. There's different synergies, but designed to be a single-target skill, and it hits multiple times. There's some math involved in it as well. You can manipulate the math, but it looks like just a single-target skill that hits a ton. It looks disgusting.
I'm going to call you out on this, by the way.
Go ahead.
Harry was complaining about having accurate tooltips.
Go on.
He was actually complaining about accurate tooltips. He's like, it's kind of a lot of math for to just say 0.8 multiplication to your recurve chance. Harry, are we really going to
I'm just surprised that it's there. It's not a bad thing that they said it's multiplied by 0.8 for each subsequent recurve. No, it's good. So the other thing that I said about tooltips in the past, it's hard for them to calculate everything because you never know how fast you're attacking, you're dodging things, or does it apply Doom? Doom famously messes up your tooltips because it doesn't recognize it, only attacks with 4 times. But so the Heartseeker stuff, you don't really know what you have an average DPS, but it's going to sometimes high roll and sometimes low roll. There's a node in Heartseeker it's a 1 out of 1 node, and I could find it if I scroll through all my imager links here.
It gives a 66% base chance to minimum chance.
Yeah, minimum chance. So it never goes below 60 or 66, whatever. Right? Yeah. And it's a 1 out of 1 node. That's a crazy node. It could just, you could go infinite. You could go infinite.
It's a gambler's dream.
Is that node going to be behind something that gives it plus 20 mana cost?
It's going to be
that node by itself makes me want to play Heartseeker. Yeah. That's crazy.
You just in theory, you cast one Heartseeker and kill Aberroth.
You could.
I know. And obviously, it's really low chance. But,
I would watch that YouTube video.
It's probably about the same chance of Melee actually finally getting buffed in Last Epoch as well, from what we saw. So
listen, if we're going to make Melee jokes, I'm going to point out that during this Gazzy interview with Carve and Mike, every time they mentioned Melee, both Mike and Carve went
just they just started sighing and everything.
They sighed, they paused, and then they said, "Well, we think it feels good and we want it to feel better." It's like, dude, I wanna be better. I don't wanna feel better. It was so funny.
Yeah.
That doesn't yeah. does not instill confidence in me personally.
Can we talk about that more? Or
sure, if you want to. What else do you want to say about it?
One specific part that kind of triggered me just slightly when I was hearing them talk. They're talking about like one of the ways that like melee can be better is like, you know, having skills that are actually good for mobility, for, you know, closing the gap. And they used lunge as an example. Now, for the unaware, lunge is probably the second worst movement skill in Last Epoch right now, I think. If we were to like rate all of the movement skills or traversal skills on a tier list, the only thing that like is worse is Fury Leap, and that's because Fury Leap has such a long cooldown, while lunge is less of a cooldown. But let me give you an idea of how far the rabbit hole goes for lunge, okay? Like, Mage has a skill that just lets you teleport with a button. It has a set mana cost, a set cooldown, and all that. Lunge actually scales its mana cost based on distance for
some reason. I would love to delete that. Please delete the lunge mana cost.
That feels so old. And lunge also got reworked a long time ago, and it's not necessarily a good skill right now. There are certain aspects of it that are good, like the missing health gained and all that, but generally the best way to use lunge is to unspecialize it and just use it on your bar unspecialized. So using lunge as like the way to say that like melee is actually good, it's kind of just a little weird to me, considering how little I rate lunge in general, but, you know, maybe I'm crazy. This is kind of just weird.
So if we're talking about Sentinel stuff, we already talked about like a tiny bit of defense, tiny bit of time rot. We mentioned Heartseeker, which makes me want to play Marksman, I guess. I didn't believe that was ever going to happen. We can talk as well about the other ailments. So not only Time Rot, but also Electrify. Electrify is getting a handful of extra support. We haven't seen like the new items. We haven't seen all the champion affixes. Like, we don't know the whole breadth of what this is going to look like. But Electrify has new affixes. We know there's a body armor and helmet affix that says chance to electrify and hit with lightning skills. So that's good. Like the addition of that. We've not seen Healing Hands. Healing Hands really comes to mind when I start thinking about Electrify. So maybe it's different, but maybe it's the same. We'll see. Also makes me think about the new node that they spoiled, which was more damage with the Electrify per critical strike multiplier.
More damage per 2% critical strike multiplier, lightning damage over time. It specifically states lightning damage over time. Kind of, you know, ominous, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we get something about that. But, you know, Electrify, the biggest problem with Electrify is one of its biggest multipliers, Volatile Reversal, is just out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to make up
we,
for it
we assume
somehow.
It's out. We haven't seen the entire Volatile Reversal skill tree carve.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, I doubt they're going to add a node that lets your dots deal 300% more damage. Mm-hmm. Let's be real, right? Let's be realistic here. So this is a good step in the right direction to fixing that problem. So Electrify might actually be really good next batch because of this.
Let me pull something up real quick. Yeah, speaking of Volatile Reversal not being in the game anymore to scale that damage, there's a node in Anomaly that we've been talking about recently. It's called the Mark of Rot. And like, it's been there forever, but like, I don't take it because I spec my Anomaly differently, and I feel like I already have enough damage. But Mark of Rot says, when enemies return to the present, they take increased void damage for a duration. It's 100% increased damage taken.
There's no way that's making it.
You don't think it's gonna stay there?
No. If they're nerfing if they're removing Volatile Reversal, they're gonna remove that too.
I hope so.
If they don't, then yeah, all right, we're gonna abuse it until they remove it. But
it's only void damage. Yeah,
it's time on Earth is not long. Let's put it like that. Probably. Like, let's be real, right? Like, it's like a good example here. Like, you have like the Spirit Plague node, where like you're capped to like 360 ward per second or whatever, right? They're slowly going down the list of things that we call overpowered and broken, and they're getting rid of most of it, which I'm happy with.
Good. Yeah. That's very, very good.
Good. Thing. Good. Yeah. It does not deserve to exist. But it's just like, Anomaly itself is a skill that just just needs to be reworked.
Yeah, it's got problems. You only ever use it one way.
Yeah, it needs a new, it needs to be a new skill, essentially, right?
So hopefully Electrify makes a splash. I remember the last time that I played Electrify, my biggest takeaway was it relies too heavily on like the bare bones that it has, like has access to, and like it really doesn't have much support outside of that. Like it does one thing and it does it okay, but it's really just one thing right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see.
I looked into it, and I played that Electrify Smite build I talked about, right? And that build was already on its way out in general because of this patch with all the bosses being really tanky, right? So with the reversal removal, but then this lightning more damage that you have to like run instead of like percent damage or whatever, I don't know if that Smite build is going to be any good, but I'm sure there'll be other builds that are good. But that build is like just dead out of the water, I think.
I'm making a list of all the things we've talked about so far. Make sure I don't lose what we've been chatting about.
Of course, yeah.
So going through my imager libraries of everything that we've got so far, we talked a little bit about Volatile Reversal, but we can talk more about it right now. So Volatile Reversal looks like a completely new skill. It is a movement skill. It has the melee tag. It's kind of like lunge. I guess what's a better example? It kind of looks like TP, like you TP forward, right?
People are gonna hate me for my opinion on this, but continue.
So you TP forward to your mouse, and then you take a bunch of game actions there, and then you TP back to your starting location when you click the button again. And you can disable that so you don't TP back. You can also change it so that you can TP forward twice and add like an extra cooldown, but you can take a look at those imager libraries on your own, or you can just wait for patch notes someday. So it looks like a brand new skill. Looks cool, has synergy with Devouring Orb as well. We just mentioned that. It has fire conversion. It has the fire conversion tag next to it. I don't think we've seen what the fire conversion stuff does, but like that's exciting. Never had that before.
Yeah, so
I'm excited about it. Holy moly, how can you watch this interview and not come out like excited?
Everything else. So the problem is this specific problem, like this specific thing. Okay. This is what I'm going to bring up. I'm just going to be very brief. The animation, the actual like using of the skill.
Go on.
Just looks like it feels awful. Okay. The animation lasts forever. Right. If you watch the clip again, yes, it's sweet. It's great. You get to watch it for so long. You know, you get to stand in place for so long. There's a reason why people, you know, it's like, I don't know. I'm not very a fan of the direction the new reversal has gone in terms of just like, it just doesn't look good to play with. It doesn't feel good to play with. Like, you're going to end up playing with it anyways because the Devouring Orb stuff, right? But it's not going to feel good to play with, if that makes sense.
Like, you think it's going to scale with attack speed and like feel better as you build more attack speed?
But it looks so slow already. Like even with like attack speed, it just looks so slow.
It kind of looked like Consecrated Path, like the animation itself.
No, it's going to be in the same vein that like Dark Quiver is, where nobody
really, you think so?
Yeah, nobody likes playing with Dark Quiver, okay? Nobody likes playing with Dark Quiver. But it does something, so you end up using it anyways, and you just deal with it, right? You just end up dealing with it. And
clip it. Please clip it. Please clip it.
Like, in my opinion, and this is going to be... this is actually why I'm wearing the Pee Wee 2 hat, by the way.
Oh, God. Wondering. Oh, no.
The new Volatile Reversal looks like it has, like, the same kind of feel of animation that like Rolling Slam has. And if anyone knows what I'm talking about, they're going to cringe immediately. And they're going to think about it, and they're going to think about the Volatile Reversal animation. I'm sure it'll be fine, but the animation itself, it just looks so slow that it just made me cringe while I was looking at it.
Oh no, Twitch chat, how bad is Rolling Slam? I need a live reaction to that. Is it the worst possible?
It just looks like it does look very slow, does it? Right? Like that's like my problem with it. It like if you were to compare it to like every other skill in the game, it just looks like you're in slow motion in comparison, which, you know, maybe is in theme because you're a Void Knight, right? Maybe it's in theme.
And you're manipulating time or something. All right.
Yeah.
Chat, we're going to find something that gets Dread excited.
Oh, no, I'm already excited. The damage over time nerf has me hella excited. This is the only negative thing. Well, other than the melee stuff. This is the only negative thing that I feel about the whole thing. Like, everything else, like the ward, like, I have literally an entire word pad. Ward nerfs, good. Intelligence nerf, good. Spirit plague nerf, like, nerfing ward on hit sources that are uncapped, good. Buffing health regen on items, good. Buffing health, like, I have this
I took the list, and like, once again, Gavrin Gaming made a big post, and he posted it on Reddit with all the bullet points, and like, I was using that to like cultivate like whatever, you know, I wanted to talk about here. So again, shout out to him because he's doing the Lord's work. Everything that you're excited about is what I deleted off my topics. I was like, all right, like, good but boring, good but boring, good but boring, good but boring. It reminds me, and I'm going to keep referencing this over and over, of that time that we had the curse on the podcast, and we were like, we were getting all hyped up, we were looking for 1.0, we're like, what's going on, buddy, how are we going to do? And I said, like, what are you most looking forward to in 1.0? He said, oh, I want the bug fixes. Like, come on, man, give me something. Like, fewer paper cuts per hour. Like, yeah, I'm excited about that too, but come on. What about Rive? Rive is converting to Void. Does that get you juiced up? All right, what about...
No. I have a very specific thing about that. Like,
Okay.
I liked Fizz Rive Void Knight. I like the idea that, like, there was a reason to be Fizz for some reason. I don't like that, like, it's you're losing the identity of being Fizz, right?
Gaining the identity of being a Void Knight.
Yeah, I know. It's insanely strong. It's going to be insanely strong. It's gonna be OP. Right? Yeah, I think it's going to be really good. Yeah, it's going to be really good.
I can't wait for it. I've played Rive, like a Void Damage Rive before, just ignoring all my physical damage. Like, it already felt good. This is going to be so good.
Yeah.
If you like melee, go play Rive. Or the new Multi-Strike.
Oh, the multi-strike's insane.
Yeah. Oh, that looks... are you team melee or team smite?
Both.
Both's good. Yeah. Come on.
It's like, I know that like you're trying to like make me seem like I'm crazy in terms of like...
No, I'm poking you, like, and I'm trying to figure out what you're excited about.
I told you I have a whole list of all of this. Like, I'm so happy that like boss war is getting removed from most enemies in the game. Like, I'm happy about the Forge Weapons buff. Like, I'm happy that Summon Bear got buffed. The mana reduction for zombies. Knowing what spiders is finally helps, right?
Oh, spiders, like, hilarious.
Like, Heartseeker looks amazing. It's just, there was just this one specific thing I disliked, was i.e. the Voltar Reversal stuff.
That's all right, all. So Heartseeker. You want to talk more about Heartseeker? We can go back to it. So you previously spent channel points on my Twitch stream to choose my starter build. And subsequently, we decided to make it reciprocal, where I'm going to choose your starter build as well. And I've been telling everyone, we're very likely going to be like Sentinel builds, because you like Sentinel, I like Sentinel. We're both like, you know, Sentinel at heart, even though it's not been great in the past. It's not been like OP in the past. We look at Heartseeker, and all of a sudden we're like, do we have to play Sentinel? Can I play Heartseeker instead?
I think what we can do, what I'll do is I'll choose the flavor of Heartseeker you play. How's that sound? Is that better?
I want to wait for patch notes. Like, I'm being a teeny bit facetious, but like, Heartseeker looks really good.
Patch notes are the most important part, right? Yeah. Patch notes are the most important part, right?
When he used so Carve was showing it on screen, and he turned on the note that says, like, when you kill an enemy with Heartseeker, for each remaining recurve that would have happened,
that
you,
is insane. That
you
is
shoot out puncture.
Oh my god, that is insane! I love it so much.
It
that
shoots out puncture.
More value on top of my value. What that is really good?
So yeah. So it calculates at the beginning, and then there's a note that says like the minimum is 0.6. Like,
imagine you like kill an enemy, right? Your computer lags, and you see like 200 like projectiles.
You could. That could happen.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
yeah. Like, there's so many enjoyable things. It just, you just started talking about the specific stuff I didn't like.
Oh, man, I was excited for that.
No, I think Baltimore Reversal is a good addition to the game. Like my only problem with it, I just wish they would speed up the animation. Like, it's they went on this whole rant about
melee stuff,
feeling good.
Yeah,
and then I see this slow ass animation for Baltimore Reversal. Like, guys, read the room. I can instantly teleport like almost two screens with teleport, while I have to do my taxes while I jump through time.
It's like a quarter second, but it's going to feel clunky. All right, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. So we talked about Volatile Reversal Heartseeker. What about another Sentinel skill? Because you and I kind of have Sentinel on the mind. What about Symbols of Hope? No longer Sigils of Hope.
It is like the world where a Flame Ward is balanced.
Yeah, I think this is a really good change. So you know what Sigils of Hope did in the past? Sigils, you had to cast it or kill enemies in order to generate them, like a 5% chance to kill, gain one on kill. Or you would use like a unique ring to generate one every couple seconds. And all the Sigils of Hope did in the past is they gave you some health regeneration, they gave you some flat damage. And they were boring for a very long time. Back when they were OP, they gave you percent increased armor. They gave you flat armor. Pretty sure they gave you flat armor a long time ago. They were nerfed since then. Now they give you some extra endurance threshold, but they still give you percent increased damage and flat damage and block chance if you suspect that, and healing effect if you're playing a healing effect build. And like, they're frustrating, and a lot of players have remarked over time that the frustration is just not worth it. They just hate it.
Slowly removing all of the frustrating parts of
good. Sentinel. What an amazing way to build a game.
The biggest problem I have with the removing all of the frustrating parts of Sentinel is if you keep going down this line of just removing everything that's frustrating, there's not going to be a class left, right?
What?
Right? It's just going to be an empty slot there instead.
What a hater. All right. So the new Symbols of Hope, you automatically spawn a Sigil of Hope every two, or a symbol every 2 seconds. And while you have them, you gain something, flat damage. When you activate your Symbols of Hope, it consumes all active symbols and it gives you 3 seconds of damage reduction. So it gives you 5% DR for each one consumed. At base, that means you're getting 15% DR, and it might be like 25% DR if you're grabbing all the extra sigils. We don't know exactly what the skill tree looks like. It might be buffed or changed or different affixes, but you could get like 25% DR by clicking a button. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing, like 25% DR. This looks very cool. I like the change. It's like a passive thing. You activate it when you need it. Flame Ward. Yeah, it's a fixed Flame Ward, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like Flame Ward if it was balanced, pretty much. And like, I know that like sounds quote-unquote negative, first off. But no, Flame Ward is absolutely blitheringly, stupidly OP.
It's bonkers.
Like having a balanced version that you have to actually invest
it's
in.
It's still very good. So we have like a body armor prefix on Mage that gives you a +1 charge for Flame Ward. Can I get a body armor prefix on Sentinel that says +1 sigil? Like +1 maximum sigil?
The old idols say sigil duration, which doesn't exist anymore. And you also have Orion's sun sigil, which is the ring. So you would assume that these would be changed.
Yeah, maybe. You know what? They might be. That's a great point.
Yeah.
And we have new idols. Yeah, new idol affixes coming as well.
Oh. Divine Flare looks insane, by the way. If you don't know, Divine Flare was bugged for like
7 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it was doing so much more single target than it ever had any right doing, you know.
Yeah, but it cost like literally a million mana.
Yeah. It did, yeah. But the new version of it looks so much better. It's so much better already. Even looking at one node, it looks so much better.
There was another node. So you're talking about Symbols of Hope, the DPS version of it, which exists in the past, but there's another thing we should talk about as well, which is Judgment. Twitch chat helped me understand exactly what the change was, because I haven't played Judgment in a while. So Judgment, instead of consuming your entire mana pool and giving you 1% damage per 2 mana consumed, now it's 2% damage per 1 mana consumed, and it consumes up to a quarter of your pool instead of your entire pool.
So essentially, it gives you the same amount of damage as before. It just doesn't consume your entire mana bar every
which is amazing.
Time.
Great.
It is amazing.
Such a good change.
Very good. This is a huge indirect buff to crit melee hit judgment if you aren't using the stupid gloves.
Like,
if
that's a fan favorite build right there.
Yeah, if you just wanted to like hold right click with judgment and hold right click with like vengeance and hold Q with judgment, this is a huge buff for you, my friend.
That's awesome. I love that.
It's a huge buff for you.
Okay, yeah. All right. So Symbols of Hope, Dread, and I were both interested, both excited about Symbols of Hope. That's good. It only took us like 40 minutes to find something that we're both excited about.
About all the positive stuff.
Okay. How about you choose the next thing? I've got a few more things I want to talk about before we just kind of ramble. But what else is on your list?
So I'm reading through here. Let's see what would be good. Oh, I mean, we should probably like talk about the biggest bomb to drop in all of existence. So you know how we got the mastery respec? And how that's going to make alts better because you just need to run 5 instead
of
just, like, 15.
This bomb. This is a good bomb.
This bomb is even better. Now, your normal monolith progression is shared across your entire stash. So they're using this new terminology, i.e. your stash. I.e. if you don't know what this means, if you're in soul account found, you share your stash with all your soul account found people.
I thought you were going to say like new terminology fun.
Yeah.
But okay. Well, okay. Keep going.
The terminology they're using for this. You got to understand it for what we're about to talk about. So essentially, if you have a stash shared with another character that has all your normal monolith progression, that is given to all of your characters. So now all you need to do is find a monolith that has like a really good layout and go in, kill monsters, go out, go in, and then do that for like maybe an hour or two, move to the next one, etc. Get to like level 75, go knock out your 90 Harvey. Bam, you're all
Is this your new alternate leveling? Like is this adventure mode now?
Yeah, this is effectively adventure mode. Like this is essentially adventure mode. Like it is literally adventure mode. It's the adventure mode people are asking for. Of course, you still have to go through the campaign, but like, let's be real, dude.
You gotta go to like level 20 and then you get access to it, right?
An hour or two.
So
it takes
like there's another piece on top of this as well, right? So once you get to empowered, there's a woven echo that they talked about, which gives you access to that stash, the terminology you just introduced, that stash, the highest corruption that you have on a different character who uses the same stash. So like on your alt, you just bam, 1,000 corruption. If you want, or 500, whatever you want.
We don't know what woven echo it is, but we know what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really good too, because like what's cool about it is because you can take that, right? Bump up your character all the way to the top of corruption or whatever, right? And then use reductions to manipulate exactly what corruption you want to be at. Like you can like use the reduction with like the dudes and all that. And that's really, really good for the end game grind, because now if let's say like I can go and do a mono that nobody likes. What's a mono with it everyone doesn't like? Good question. What's a mono that no one likes? Ending the Storm, Lagan, right?
Done. Yeah, that's a good one. It's got chapter 9 monsters.
I can go use this echo thing, this woven echo, push up Lagan to 1,000 corruption, right? And then just keep it there, and then use the catch-up mechanic everywhere else, and then reduce my corruption with the corruption reducer. Remember, you can click on the button multiple times and manipulate where your corruption is. And now you never, ever, ever, ever have to push corruption that you haven't already pushed.
The dream.
Yep.
This is a lot of quality of life. It's so much quality of life that it's kind of hard to take it in right now because I'm not currently playing the game.
Of course, the thing is too, is the reason why this is so interesting is now mastery respec, you only need a level 5 characters. After your first character, leveling them doesn't take that long, right? Then when you do level them, you can respec them to whatever master you want. Now, what's going to end up happening is there's going to be a bunch of people getting to endgame and then rerolling alts, and they're going to need something to do, right? They're going to need something to do. Well, good thing that this is the endgame update, huh? Right? Mm-hmm. So what's going to end up happening is people are going to have way more time to spend on the endgame activities of last epoch. And now that stupid metric that has been lording over us forever, the only 1% of people get to like 300 corruption, might finally get broken, because now getting to like it isn't hard anymore, right? In comparison, right? It's like, oh my God, it's going to like make being a new player, like this is like obviously for us, it's a huge buff, but it's more multiple magnitudes, like 20 billion more important to a new player for this than it is for us, because we're just gonna suffer through it and do it whatever, like we'll take whatever CBT gets thrown our way, right? Who cares? But for the new player who like he's just Timmy and he sees his favorite streamer Perry the Pig playing Gordian Prism on Runemaster, I want to play that, so now he can level a Runemaster. And then he sees like his other favorite streamer Frozen Sentinel playing with like Frostclaw and realizes that is way better than Gordian Prism. He can just swap into Sorcerer, and all of a sudden, like, this is so good. This is so good.
All right, so let's talk a little bit. So you just mentioned having like shared stashes with the early monolith stuff, and then shared stashes also with the corruption pushing. We've been talking about quality of life. Let's talk a little bit more about corruption and whatnot. So we have a number that they've associated with Uber Aberroth. So we don't know exactly how to get to Uber Aberroth, but generally speaking, when like your first character, when you're doing this, you're pushing to 300 corruption on the live servers. That's where you do Aberroth for the first time. When you want to do Uber Aberroth, it's something to do with your monolith echo. You put a node in there somewhere. But they've associated it with 500 corruption. So that's the earliest that you'd be able to do it. They said your character is likely not going to be ready to do it by the time you're at 500 corruption on your very first playthrough. But that's the number that we have. Does that mean anything for us? No?
No.
Unfortunately.
Because the thing is, I talked about it on stream earlier. I could rant about the current boss stuff for a while, so I'm not going to. I'm going to save that for its own episode. We can talk about all about bosses, but like to boil it down, I said this before when I was talking to Gazzy, I'm going to say this again. Boss content in Last Epoch is effectively what Aberroth here, right? Is effectively what I would call side content. You don't need to do Aberroth to progress your character as long as you don't need a Nihilus or a Seed, right? If your character does not need a Nihilus or a Seed of a Kidrasil, you don't need to interact with Aberroth at all. You can completely ignore him and never touch him ever. And your entire game doesn't get better. It doesn't get worse. You can ignore it. Much like the Soulfire Bastion. You can use a key to go do it, and it's like optional content, but you never have to touch it.
I was going
to
say same thing for the campaign, but like there's plus one all attributes, technically.
Yeah, and and for Uber Aberroth, the gloves, we were shitting on them because they didn't help against Dot, but guess what just got nerfed into Oblivion?
That's a good point.
Right? So that's cool. And then, of course, the relic is cool, but like it's not like build enabling like we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just like building into a more kind of topic where like I think that like we're going to end up in a stage where either you are deleting Aberroth or you aren't interacting with Aberroth.
Or skipping it.
Skipping it. Mm. I don't like that future, but that's like, well, that's where we're like, you know, like it's like, yeah, you complete it, but like there's no progression required for Aberroth. Like there's nothing locked behind him, normal mm-hmm. Aberroth, right? Like no one, like it doesn't do anything, right?
I mean, so people like it. So I'm thinking about Path of Exile, and like my experience in Path of Exile is like Elder, Uber Elder, Shaper, mm-hmm. and the Cyrus guy, and like you didn't have to do them, but like you wanted to.
Yeah, it's a sense of accomplishment. Yeah,
yeah, I agree. But like, isn't that enough?
Yeah, it is enough. Huh. But what I'm saying is like it is becoming, like I said, side content, and it's interesting because like, are all of the bosses going to be like that? Like, do you think all the bosses are going to end up being side content?
I think Last Epoch is side content, dude. Come on. It's like, a video game. Like, you play for like, fun. So,
like, the thing is, too, is, like, people are bringing up, like, you know, they're profitable and all that. Yeah, but, like, have you ever, like, ran Echoes? Like, Favor's pretty good, too, man. Like, Favor's a whole different discussion on this as well. But I like this, by the way. I don't mind it.
Okay.
It's just, that's why I just
it's a good observation. Okay.
Serious. I don't, that's why I don't take Abroth as seriously anymore.
Yeah. Sure. Because, like, if you want to kill Abroth, and like even
roll a Lethal Mirage build,
right? And I'm on the same page in the current 1.1 patch. I'm on the same page as you. Like, if you want to farm Abroth, go build a character that dumpsters it. Like, don't fight it for 6 minutes. Like, I like fighting it for 6 minutes because I like struggling and having fun, because that's a different kind of fun.
It's cool. I think it's good for races. Yeah. Mm.
I was in races too. Oh my god.
Abroth should give all plus one
to attributes. Abroth should give plus one to all attributes.
It should, yes.
Yeah, it should. And Uberath should, Uber Abby should do the same thing. Just like, it barely does anything, but it technically helps.
Well, yeah.
I think it should. I like it. Thank you, Twitch.
But yeah, I don't, yeah. Like, it's just interesting to talk about, because like, it's an interesting microcosm, because this has been a problem in like Path of Exile as well, but it's a little bit different, because in Path of Exile, you didn't do bosses, not because you couldn't do them, but because like it was like gambling. So it's either you were doing a bunch of bosses in a row and making money that way and killing them fast and all that, or you just were selling the keys to people who were bossers. But because of the way Last Epoch is, you can't just sell your boss keys, right? Mm. So you're stuck with them. But then, like you said, because they said that they don't want to like balance Abroth. Like they don't want to balance builds around deleting Abroth. They were just simply put, like, we're not going to nerf the Lethal Mirage build that one taps Abroth on like literally like potato gear. Mm-hmm. Like they're not going to like just nerf it just because of that, right? Because it has quote unquote no clear or anything. Mm-hmm. But that specific part is like why it kind of just doesn't, like, it's like, I'm just going to go like play a build that just deletes them. I'm going to roll like a Tornado Werebear. Like, I'm not going to like try to struggle and play with like my Vengeance Paladin, right? You know, what it'll be fun, but it wouldn't be worth my time, right?
Got it. All right, so there's another thing I want to talk about real quick, because it's on my list. I guess I only have like two or three more things before we just get rambly, and that is a unique item that we've already mentioned previous here. So I've been hyping this up because it sounds hilarious. I don't know if it's good or not, it just sounds funny. But there's an item called Nest of Nightmares, and it applies spiders on
hits. Spiders!
So spiders on hit. I feel like I should go look up like what the item actually is, because I don't even know if it's a weapon or something. But
it's a mace.
It's a mace. Okay,
mace. It's like a mace or a scepter or something.
I'm gonna use maces, baby. Okay, so there's a new mace, I guess, that applies spiders on hit, and it's, yeah, Twitch chat said acid skin 2.0. It applies spiders on hit. It lasts 4 seconds. It can stack up to 4 times, and it gives 20% additive chance to be crit. So this is not your own flat critical strike chance, but it's something like crit vulnerability or something like acid skin, where instead of having to stack up to 100% chance to crit all the time, you'd only stack up to 80% chance to crit all the time. And this stacks 4 times, so you only need to stack up to 20% chance to crit all the time.
Now, cool. Of course.
Yeah, all right.
What's really cool is this combined with a certain unique that was talked about.
True.
You get up to 40% crit for your minions just off the bat.
By hitting one time.
Other scaling.
Yeah.
By hitting one, like by just by sneezing on them, right?
Yeah.
You just cover them in
spiders. This is good for minions. True, true, true.
Yeah, it is very, 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 well, even more good for minions. Like, for instance, like a good example here, like summoned volatile zombie. It was never that good for its own damage, its explosion damage. People would abuse it to like proc spells and all that, but they would never use it for its own damage, because why would you ever play a non-crit build in this day and age?
So,
right?
So there's a build that I've tried to play in the past, and Amarathy in Twitch chat just called out the same thing. Singularity works really well with crit vuln because it works the way you want it to. Singularity Singularity says you can't deal a crit, but the enemies receive a crit. So you can still get
there's
the more
no
multiplier.
Way that stays.
Oh,
there's no way.
What?
That
it's in the game right now, homie.
Oh. No, I mean like they're gonna like Carve is gonna like sniff it out.
No, Carve, don't do it. No, Carf lost his job. He doesn't work there anymore.
Carf lost his job by Carf.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Someone said something earlier in my, I think it was either my Discord or your Discord or something. They're like, oh, Carf was angry about the Pee Wee 2 date thing. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to make
this. Yeah, he took that personally. He's like, no, play this game. Play this game. Yeah. That's so, yeah, all right. So we got spiders. We know what spiders do. Spiders and singularity. I love the combination there. All right. So what's another one? I wanted to chat just briefly about champion affixes. I'm not sure we knew about this previously, but champion affixes is something that I'm really excited about. Champion affixes are always going to be sealed. So that's news to me. I don't think that was public before.
You can't put it on legendaries. They can drop exalted.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really good about them is, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, you can craft the set shards on them. So there's going to be a world where you have set items with, like, sealed whatever on them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, set items might actually, like, low-key be really good next patch.
Well, set items had better be good next patch because they're competing with legendary items, and legendary items are OP.
Yeah, and I brought this up. I was like, people are talking about, like, oh, don't you think that, like, the set stuff is kind of OP drag?
It has to be.
Like, it has to be OP.
Yeah. Because you cannot use sets with legendary. You can't use legendaries on sets. Like, they are two mutually exclusive thing. And if anybody's ever going to use set items, like their own custom crafted set items, it has to be a strong alternative. And hopefully it is. So, looking at Sentinel base types, this is something I was using on stream as an example.
Actually,
go ahead.
That's Guffy. Guffy just asked, like, can the new rune shuffle tiers with sealed affixes? No.
Yeah, no, sealed stuff never changes at all.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at Sentinel base types, like, there was a reason not to use a unique LP thing as your body armor when you're playing a Sentinel, because the Sentinel already has a really good champion regalia, which gives you 700 armor and, like, something. Dot mitigation, which is a really, really good base type. And there's no corresponding unique for it, which I hope stays. I hope that stays, right? Because it gives you an opportunity cost for using LP in that slot. But now you can do a set in that slot, and that's exciting too.
The last bear thing.
Yeah, like, sure, do it.
Like 30 strength or whatever. I don't know if they're going to be like class specific. They did say that like I'm not entirely sure, but I'm pretty sure they'll be class specific. So like that will work. Because the last bear set is not class specific, while others are. It's really weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are certain the pebble set is crazy. It is only 40 flat though. I don't think it's actually like it would have to like change the pebble, like the pebble stuff, because it's only like 40 flat. Obviously, that's really strong with the Lich's Scorn though, with like the cold pen. But this is minion stuff, and Perry's like falling asleep. So,
so speaking of Lich's Scorn, you heard that Dreadshade is permanent, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. It's really good. Yeah, it's really good. That's a huge buff to, like, they were talking about, like, Infernal Golem, like, the Pyre Golem.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge buff for that, because one of the biggest problems with Pyre Golem is, like, trying to put back on your Dreadshade on your Golem. Because
you have a bunch of other minions floating around and trying to get consumed, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, way better. Oh, they talked about the minion stuff, and I love Gazzy, but I'm going to say it. He butchered my question a little bit. Just a little bit. In terms of the minion stuff, my main question was like minion favor farming, which didn't really get addressed per se, because like obviously, you know, minions can be fine, yada yada yada, but there is like a quantifiable difference between a minion build and a normal build in terms of favor per hour right now, right? Like if you were to like play a minion build, and it's like that's like a problem, but like I said, Perry's falling asleep again, so we're gonna ignore the minions.
I've been playing minions on stream. I'm learning.
Trying to learn. Count. Your build got buffed.
Oh, good, my build, dude.
Yeah,
it's my. I'm the forge weapon guy. That's me.
Yeah, forge weapons got buffed. By the way, if you don't know, the unique ring for forge weapons was like bugged, and they buffed it.
Hopefully, bug fixing it at the same time. They did call
they
that
did
out.
Bug fix it. Yes, they bug fixed it. Pretty much, it was really funny. Carver was like, "If you're abusing the bug, this is technically a nerf." if you weren't abusing the bug, you're way better now. It was really funny.
So if we're talking about forged weapons for just a moment here, let's segue to one other thing.
Oh yeah, Vengeance can summon forged weapons
now. Yeah, yeah. So Vengeance, the Iron Blades have a chance to be replaced by a forged weapon, which if Vengeance looks in the future like what it looks like right now, it has crazy quality of life. It gives you like two or three separate sources of DR. It gives you like cannot be crit. It gives you global percent more damage, which I guess doesn't do anything for forged weapons, but it's still good. It's like attacking with Vengeance, if that's what your build incorporates, it's a very, very strong build.
Vengeance also bleed Vengeance.
Yeah, there you go.
Like there's a node for Vengeance now that gives you 1% fizz pen for bleeds per uncapped physical resistance.
It's like it's what also, one for one, right?
Also, I would like to add, while we're discussing this, there's an amulet in the game currently that gives you like ward per second based on your physical resistance while channeling rebuke, right? That'll be fun, eh?
I was enjoying this conversation until you started talking. What? Why would you mention rebuke? All right,
well,
so
because you stack fizz resistance to the moon.
We have channeled focus over there next to the TP that moves 2.5 screens when you click on the edge of your screen. And they get to move while casting lightning blast while channeling focus. And I need to stand like still while channeling my rebuke.
And they get like a Diet Coke version of like, Flame Ward as well.
It's come on, man. We fixed Sentinel. Come on.
I don't know. Maybe it's not obvious if you haven't played it, but like Sentinel definitely just in terms of like, what does Sentinel get? What does Sentinel get? Right. Like, that's a good question.
A similar joke has been like, if this was a mage skill, it would like, or I guess like if this was a rogue skill, all the different things it would get access to. But like, if it's a Sentinel skill, it's like,
if the Vengeance thing was a Sentinel, if the Sentinel, like the Vengeance node, the bleed pen, it would be 2% bleed pen.
It would. It would be 2%.
Yeah, it would be.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Listen, so people who tell you that, like, Sentinel's good, Sentinel's super tanky, it's like, oh, how are you getting tankiness? Like, rebuke. Stop it.
They're going to be like, I use rebuke and Soldiers of Hope at the same time.
It's Symbols of Hope. Got to get used to saying that instead.
Symbols of Hope. It's just like this, oh, my God. Speaking about funny things, Gazzy started out saying cycle, and Mike was like, it's actually season.
It's season. It's season two.
It was really funny. Mike just scowled at Gazzy. He was like, it's actually season.
He's like, Gazzy, we did you the honor of coming on your podcast, and you disrespect me.
That was like the best moment of the entire thing.
I have to go back and watch that. I missed like the first couple minutes of it. I'll go back.
Why did they drop cycle? They were
for confusion. Happened, they wanted to make it better.
From what they talked about, it seemed like as though one of the PR people were like, cycle isn't really doing it, guys. Mm-hmm. Change it?
Yep. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it was. Just like, it's confusing. Yeah. We don't need to be confusing this way. We already have so many other things that differentiate our game. We don't need to be cute for this reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
They could have called it an epoch. Stop it. Get out of here.
I'm going to still call it a cycle because I think it's funny.
I'm going to call it an epoch. All right. So I'm through my list of things that I wanted to talk about. I made my list. We'll put it in the description of the video as well. What's on your mind? We're gonna start rambling now. We're gonna read Twitch chat more. We're gonna review your list of things. We've been live for about an hour or so in this podcast.
We talked about everything on my list for the most.
Everything,
part.
Okay.
Other. So they were very, very, very wishy-washy when
on melee.
Like the favor endgame farm stuff. Like Lizard posted a question because if you don't know, Gazzy went around and asked all of us a bunch of questions to ask the devs. And because of the way he asked the questions, it made us all sound like a bunch of sweaty tryhards. And then like Mike was like, well, actually, and Carter was like, well, actually. But one of those was specifically about like the endgame scaling in terms of like favor. versus the amount of corruption you're doing. What kind of corruption do you expect people to get? It was a very interesting conversation, but something that came out from that conversation was about specifically about how they calculate DPS. And they're like, hey, we don't actually like calculate DPS between builds per se, because there's so many like things that like change the metrics. Like for instance, you know, you could get like slowed and you'll deal less damage. There's like a lot of things. Like there's like, you should listen to the conversation eventually if you haven't. We'll probably link the VOD in the description. But it was just an interesting conversation, because one thing that pointed out to me is like, they talked about DPS and they weren't like, they're very wishy-washy on it. Like, how much DPS do we expect people to be doing? And like, I feel like that question was meant to be like, you know, is Abiroth supposed to get deleted in 0.2 seconds? I think that's what that question was supposed to be, or that was supposed to be taken as, right?
Yeah. Like, so Lizard was in Twitch chat and he clarified that like his question kind of got jumbled up as well. And like, obviously, for like you and me and people who have played Last Epoch for a long time, you know that no member of EHG is ever going to say like, yeah, we need exactly 1 million DPS and that's the minimum threshold for this. That's never been the style of answer that they would ever give. So like, we knew like when Gazzy was phrasing that question, it wasn't going to be answered. Like, that version of the question wasn't going to be answered. And like, he gave an okay answer. Like, he said, you know, the same thing that I just said, like, no, we don't really measure this. And like, the damage numbers differ based on your defense. Like, can you tank the slam? Can you keep your DPS uptime? Do you need to move to avoid that and have worse DPS uptime? Like, are you getting chilled? Do you have ability to cleanse chill off yourself? Like, those things do matter. And like, they're kind of like hidden DPS. I would call that like quality of life, or like how fleshed out is your build. But we're really never going to get an answer like that, because frankly, it's not a good question, right?
I think it's, I like, for me, what I would have asked, or what I would have liked to have been asked.
To clarify, like Lizard's question was better than that. I don't know what it was, but he said like my question got jumbled up. So you go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you.
So the question, in my opinion, the spirit of the question is like, why am I playing this build with Vengeance? And I'm doing like maybe 500k DPS. And there's this like, you know, Frostclaw Sorcerer, you know, doing like 25 spark charges per second, right? I think that like the magnitude between a build that's good enough and blitheringly OP is the chasm is so wide, right? That I don't know how they would start fixing it. I'm sure they will start fixing it by nerfing stuff and all that, but it's just hard to imagine a world where they nerf like Falconer by 90% and then they have to nerf it again by 90%. But of course I say that, but now this is the second time Intelligence been nerfed in a row.
Good. So, yeah. Right.
So like, maybe that's just how it is. Maybe they do it piecemeal over time. Maybe that's how they do it. You know,
if they said you have a 200 corruption, it's a good build. They said in the past 300 corruption. I think 300 corruption is a great point, because that's like you finished the storyline, quote unquote, of the Monolith of Fate.
Yeah. What like, Amarathi said, there are builds doing like 30 million plus DPS on the dummy, and there are just some classes that are struggling to get like 1 to 2 million DPS. Mm-hmm. That's like the kind of like chasm of difference we're talking about. And this is partly in due to more damage modifiers not being like across the board here, right? Which is why I'm happy to see nodes like in the Vengeance tree that's like percent more physical, well, percent physical penetration with Vengeance. Because like, now you don't have to run Salt the Wound, or you can if you want double dip, but you can run a better pair of gloves now. You can run like the gloves that make you immune to bosses, right? You could run like Wing Guards and get insane attack speed. Like, this is the kind of stuff that I want to see things buffed, not just this does deal more damage, you know. That's what I was excited about.
I do feel as though like the number of S tier builds, like S plus, whatever you want to call it, like the insane builds that shouldn't exist, there's only like a small handful of them. And I told this to Gazzy as well when I was talking to him. Like, if you just ignore those builds or pretend they don't exist, or just like stop sweating so hard, like there's so many A and B tier builds that are just like, there's a tremendous amount of build variety in Last Epoch. Yeah, if you just ignore, you know, three things, you know?
Well, my entire channel is based on
Exactly. Like, and you got really, but like your videos,
A&E builds
at the same time, your videos are just like, why would I ever play that? Why would I ever play that? Why would I ever play that? Like, they're really good builds, and I love your channel. Yeah. You do a good job, but like, sweaty tryhards are not your target audience.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, 100%, which is good. I support it. Yeah. But like, why would you ever play that? Like, oh, that's a cool build. Why would you ever play that? You just play Sork instead. And like,
yeah. Gordian Prism.
Shut up. I'm not playing Gordian Prism.
Gordian Prism is going to be like the same thing as like Cinder Strike. Also, like, can we talk about how like fucking, I'm sorry for the cursing, but fucking Heartseeker is just a better Cinder Strike for Burning Dagger creation. Can we talk about that?
I want to play it.
So L's. Cinder Strike is just taking L after L. After L.
No, Cinder Strike is so cool, man. Come on.
The one thing it was good at was generating burning daggers, and it's not even good at that anymore.
But it's cool. I like Cinder Strike. Someday Cinder Strike is going to be good. When they delete it and make a new Cinder, they're going to make Cinder Punch instead. I don't know.
Yeah, but then it might have like a 5-year long animation, like our buddy of Volatile Reversal.
Twitch chat saying Rogue rework is next season. Well, yeah, we don't even need Lich rework. We should like push Lich to 2029 instead.
Mao can just be sad. Mao can just
Mao is our OG Lich gamer who's been playing the same build since 084 when I started playing the game, basically. And I keep asking him like, hey, did you update your build guide? He's like, yeah, I'm just gonna publish the same video. And he is. Like, he's going to have a blue Rip Blood this time, but he's just going to record the same thing. Be like, hey, everyone, it's Mao. Same fucking build. Keep playing it. Like, that's Lich. With blue Rip Blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to choose your builds based off MTX? I am. I'll be straight up about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends. The thing is, it's like, there's a lot of interesting stuff coming out. So, like, I'm going to end up playing, like, a few Sentinels in a row, but then, like, I don't know. It's, like, it's weird because now I feel like there's enough content in Last Epoch now to, like, maybe play a build for longer than 3 days.
Yes. Come on. There must be. With the Woven Echoes? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Exactly. Like, now, and also with the Power Creep, I can push every build to 1,000 Corruption, too. That's going to be fun. And then, like, people can tell me that, like, they're balancing around 300 while I'm, like, blasting 1,000. Like, it's going to be great. It's gonna be great.
Blasting 1,000 sounds fine. It does.
I think, like, it's fine, too.
Didn't they say something about, like, diminishing returns at 500 and at 1,000? Which kind of lines up with what our experience is currently. Yeah. Like, because you and I say, like, 700, 800.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, diminishing returns, yada, yada, yada. But, like, does that matter? Your build's just strong enough.
Mm-hmm. You just like, you know, keep going. Surely, between the idols having two additional affixes and the champion affixes existing and the new unique items and, like, the Sentinel rework, like, surely somewhere in there, your build finds enough power to get to 1,000 corruption.
Yeah, there was, like, a... It was funny. I was having a conversation the other day with someone who was, like, playing Falconer and playing Ballista Falconer. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, like, if you go to 5,000 corruption, like, sure, you're getting a decent amount of favor, but, like, aren't you slowing down instead of killing mobs? He's like, no. Yeah. No. It's like the same
brutal
thing. Yeah. No. No, I'm killing them just as fast.
All right, let's see. I think what I need to do is go back and watch, like, the entire thing and just, like, pause every couple seconds when Carve is talking, because, like, there's so much.
That's what you're gonna do for the rest of the stream, right?
I was going to, like, level Devouring Orb and get ready for the new Devouring Orb meta. You don't think Devouring Orb's going to be good?
Oh, no, you're going to be looking at everything.
I'm going to watch Carve play Devouring Orb on a loop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, on a five-second loop. Yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah, you're going to watch Carve. You're going to, like, start, like, looking at the trailer, like, looking at every single little thing.
And
then you link the Imgur link so I can make a video tomorrow.
Yeah, it's done. I'll send those to you as well. But, like, listen, Carve, if you're out there, you want to stream? You want to jump on this podcast real quick?
Yeah, you can, like, show your screen a little bit.
Yeah, go kill some, like, level 10 monsters. I'll just watch, dude. It's okay. It's fun. It's fun.
Can you press S and maybe P if you try to? Oh, God, out of context. All right, we're going to...
Okay, so we're just over an hour and 13 minutes. I think that's good for this podcast here. We have two more podcasts coming up. Like, one more, two more?
We have two more. Unless Unless if people's like conspiracy theories are true and they push the for some reason push the
never gonna happen. Never gonna happen.
Yeah, it's never gonna
happen. Absolutely no chance.
Yeah, it's just really funny.
Twitch chat wants to talk about Javelin. You got 10 seconds. What do you want to say about Javelin? It exists.
The mana cost looks so bad. If you grab the node that like splits and all that, so you're probably gonna have to play it with Serpents if you want to have that experience.
Sure. I mean, Serpents good. Yeah, we should just invite Carve in a call.
Yeah. like hey Carve, you want to stream your screen?
He's like, yeah, I don't have a job anymore. Sure, I can do that. I'll jump in.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's an ad break. Perfect timing. Okay, so we're gonna stop it here. We have two more podcasts coming up before the launch. The launch will be in less than 3 weeks from today. They said several days for the patch notes, and several days, if you say that, like, you know, maybe several days is less than a week, that means guaranteed in 2 weeks on Friday, we're getting patch notes. That's my interpretation. In exactly 2 weeks, we're getting patch notes.
Wouldn't several days be like now?
No, I think several days is less than a week, but like more than 2 days.
Like when I say several days, I mean like a whole entire month, right?
I don't know about that. Totally. I think on the 28th, 2 weeks from today, we're getting patch notes.
One thing I will say, I really hope, I know that you guys were like chiding me earlier, but I really hope that people don't assume that like I'm completely negative about everything. You just chose like every single thing I was negative about, and then like the rest of the podcast is me glazing everything. But the problem is like with average view durations and stuff, people are only gonna see.
Like, they're gonna watch the first 10 minutes, and be like, "Yo, fuck this guy. He hates time rot. Yeah. Why does he hate time rot?"
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I didn't say I hated time rot. I just said that like it's essentially solved already. Like
you think it's gonna be one bill.
Like it,
I think I someone, think it'll be two builds.
Actually, posted on my YouTube the other day.
Sure.
I played like a everything bagel lock. So the idea is you just build all the ailment chance instead of only part of it, right? And you just like built all poison, damned all of that. And someone, a wise guy in the comments, he was like, you know, no disrespect to you, Dread, but it feels like I know you're like glazing about the build and it being cool and all that. But like, it kind of feels like the devs made the build for you, if you think about it. And Devouring Orb with the time rot stuff seems to be the same thing.
When we are playing action RPGs, like Path of Exile is a different beast because Path of Exile has a billion moving pieces. Mm-hmm. But like Last Epoch doesn't. And like this joke comes up more in like Magic the Gathering or like Marvel Snap, for example, like guards that have, you know, limited like card TCGs, I guess. But we're really just playing Legos. Like the devs made Legos and we're just like putting, I made another OP build. Like we're just connecting Legos together. Like there's only so many moving pieces.
They made a rhino. I made a dinosaur.
Yeah. Like they're totally different. Like don't sweat those kind of details. They did. Yeah. I mean, they did make the build for you, but like they made Falconer too. So every Falconer gamer is just taking L's. Yeah. All right, hour 17 minutes, let's cut it off there. Dread, thank you so much for joining me on this Friday evening post Gazzy, so we can talk about everything in the world that just got spoiled by Carve. If you don't have a job, you can come on the stream and chat. If you do have a job, you can also come on the stream and chat if you want to. Open invitation to you at any point in time, but this will be on Spotify within like next 24 hours or so.
If your OBS like turn on, don't say anything. It's fine.
It will be on YouTube as well, on the official Rat City Radio Podcast YouTube channel, and we'll have some chapters in there so you can browse around. If you're watching this or listening to this after the fact, make sure to let us know where you're watching and where you're listening, so we can make sure that your watching and viewing experience is as good as possible. Thank you for being here, Dread. Thanks for your time. We'll see you next time.